Jonah Carey joins us on the telephone. Carey, we thought this rebuild would happen under two circumstances, either next spring or if the Blue Jays fell out of the race. We thought, okay, you start to see some kids maybe in July, August, certainly in September, if this team is out of it. They played well in the early part of the season, and the two call-ups in Gurriel and Hernandez are both young players. Are you at all surprised?
Well, no, because they had a need. I mean, the middle infield is a disaster. And you mentioned, yeah, they're doing a rebuild, but if you look at the rest of the roster, who are the worst performers? Those are all the youngest guys. Travis has been awful. Grichuk has been awful. Stroman has been awful. Those are the 20-somethings. Those are the guys that are supposed to give them a shot of life or whatever. The most productive players are Granderson and Pierce and Solarte. They're guys in their 30s. You know, they're guys who are older who are doing the job. So, you know, it's a funny sort of thing where, yeah, the injection of youth was sort of needed, but they just had dead spots that they needed to address. Hernandez obviously came up in part because of injuries. In the case of Gurriel, who, by the way, I'm not all that bullish on. I'm not convinced that he's a great prospect. But one way or another, the middle infield stinks, dude. I mean, they just need productive players. They're going to throw anything at the wall, spaghetti, whether it's a 40-year-old or 20-year-old. You got to try something because, I mean, they're getting nothing from the middle infield.
Tell me what you don't like about Gurriel.
Well, he just has to prove it. I mean, he's chiseled and all that. He's like, he looks the part. But, you know, we saw, at least in his early minor league career, not much production. His batting eye is suspect. He's not, doesn't have a great hit tool. He's got kind of good raw tools, so it's entirely possible. But, you know, he's not one of those elite prospects necessarily coming off of the island. He never was perceived as such. Now, the burden is nothing to be better than Devin Travis at the moment, unfortunately. So, I mean, if he hits, you know, 250 with decent power and no batting eye and okay defense, that's still a monster upgrade over what they're getting. It's just I'm not ready to get as excited. Hernandez is a more polished hitter overall. Forgetting about the 30-odd at-bats, whatever the season, he just is a better hitting prospect, not to mention Bichette and Guerrero and those guys. So Guerrero's got a shot. You certainly try it because Tulowitzki, who knows? Alanis Diaz is going to flirt with the Mendoza line. I don't know what's up with Travis. I don't know. I wrote an article about Travis last week, so I guess I should know. He's hitting everything into the ground, and he just looks completely lost at the plate. You have to try something, but Gurriel is not, you know, the Dansby Swanson massively promoted prospect coming up to the big leagues. He's a guy who has a chance to be better than somebody who's not producing at all.
Well, I think he's what he his last year was his first year in minor pro baseball. Yep. He was hurt for a good chunk of it. He had a really good fall league and he had a really good start in double A this year. But I don't, you know, he's not being paid like a superstar either, Johnny, right?
He is being paid like a major leaguer.
Yeah, but a cheap major leaguer though. And they, you know, with, on a long term deal. So that's, you know, and that's kind of, I think they see him as a super utility guy who, you know, and they're trying to figure out what position he can play. And obviously his value is way higher if he plays shortstop or plays second base than it is if he plays the outfield. You know, I think that's kind of, and that's what he looks like. You know, he's raw in a lot of ways, even though he played in the big league in Cuba, but he does, you know, he does look a bit raw. I guess the one thing about Travis is, I think the one difference between people watching him here and people watching Grichuk here is that people have seen Travis here and they saw him last April when he looked just like this, you know, and then he had a crazy good May. So I'm not saying he's going to have a crazy good May and then hurt his knee and then not play again the rest of the year. But, you know, this is almost so far, this start is almost an exact echo of what he did in 2017.
Yeah, it certainly is. Yeah, that was the piece that I wrote, was basically talking about that. And it was one of those things, he just completely flipped the switch in May. And yet, even in the month of May when he went nuts, he had 20 strikeouts and one walk in the month of May. That was when he was hitting 350 with power and all that stuff. Then he had 19 doubles in the month of May last year, which is mental. I mean, unbelievable. So when he's at his best, there's a lot of aggression. And going back to Gurriel for a second, you mentioned how good he was in the fall league. He hit .291 with a .309 on base percentage. He walked one time in 80 plate appearances. I'm not saying walks are the end-all, be-all. I'm just saying he has a good hit tool. He has good hand-eye coordination, but he is raw. And he's not 19. He's 24. So, you know, both he and Travis have that similarity where they've got good hand-eye coordination, you know, quick reflexes. They might be able to bang out a whole bunch of doubles. But it's the kind of thing that in today's game, when, you know, everybody can hit home runs, if you're hitting doubles and you're batting .280 or whatever, but you're not walking, it's not all that good a hitter anymore, unfortunately, which is the burden is different than it used to be.
The other thing is, I'm not sure, you know, and again, I love Devin Travis. He's a great kid, too. And we have seen him get crazy hot here, but I don't think he's the second baseman of the future here anyway. You know, like, I think I think they made a decision. You know, they didn't know if he was going to play this year because of the knee situation, and there's still that's a chronic thing he has, and it's not going to allow him to play full seasons. And I think that's the second baseman of the future here in, you know, in theory is probably Bo Bichette.
For sure.
So it's not, you know, Grichuk's kind of the same thing, right? These guys are younger. They're not old players, but they are still kind of placeholders on this roster in terms of that transition. You know, they're kind of hoping that they snap back at least to their, you know, relatively short sample size, but kind of career norms. And if they do that, they'll be fine. You know, they'll give them what they need.
Well, that's it. And the Jays are throwing darts here with good reason, because the Cardinals, okay, we don't believe in both those guys were Cardinals, both Aledmys Diaz and Randall Grichuk, and they were very good
right. Coming
into the league. So they said, well, what's the harm? They're in their mid-20s. Let's give it a shot. If it doesn't work, that's fine. We'll just try. I mean, I admire the thought process here. It's cheap and young talent that maybe could be productive. And if not, as you said, you just move on, and the next generation is going to come internally. And yeah, you know, hopefully they do pursue the open market at some point and go after guys. That would be the hope, because they're not going to address every position
by
the farm system, and they're going to have multiple holes. It's not just going to be one or two. There's going to be like five positions. You know, Russell Martin might be on his last legs for all we know. They're going to have a lot of positions to upgrade here.
Grichuk is intriguing because he is out of options. I know Gibby talks a lot about that he's a plus defensive outfielder. I'm not sure he is.
Oh, I think he is.
He's a good defensive outfielder. I don't know if he's a great defensive outfielder, but whatever. But his offense is so anemic. You would almost like to see him, you know, go to Buffalo, spend some time there. In order to do that, they'd have to put him on waivers, and
he'd be gone.
Would he get claimed?
You would think so, just because there are a bunch of bad teams out there, right? Like, you just mentioned those six or seven AL teams that are playing for nothing. Even Kansas City Royals couldn't use a free roll on a mid-20s outfielder who can hit 25 home runs. Of course they could. I mean, there's a bunch of teams like that. Detroit has no talent. You know, teams like that will make a play. The Yankees are not going after Randall Grichuk, but the bottom feeders, I would think, would.
So what's the option? You don't have one, right? You play him or you sit him?
Of course, it sort of depends on what the Jays want, too, right? I mean, they're sitting at 13-8. If they're actually going to contend this season, which maybe not, I'm not convinced, but if it happens, then they're going to have to make a decision, because they can't play a dead spot in the outfield. If they're just sitting around saying, all right, we're probably going to be a 500 team, let's see what we got, you know, let's take a look, then they could do that. It's too early right now to make that determination. I mean, I'm sure Ross Atkins wants to win the World Series, just like Gibby and everybody else does. So you kind of wait and see how it plays out. But in the meantime, you could spot guys here and there too, right? I mean, they've got Hernandez on the roster. They could give Pierce more run. I mean, there are things that they can do here and there to try to goose the system a little bit.
Yeah, but the problem is, you know, if you've got a middle infielder who can't hit, you can live with that, or at least you can argue that if he's got defensive skills, you can validate keeping him on the roster. You got an outfielder who can't hit 100. How do you keep him on the roster? You don't want to play him every day, so you sit him on the bench, but you don't want to go to him as a pinch hitter because he can't hit.
No, I think that's fair, and I think that if they really do have plans to contend, that's a fair argument. I mean, the outfield, as currently constituted, should be Pilar in center, Granderson and Pierce platooning, and Hernandez playing every day. I mean, I don't really see any way around that, so I think you make a valid point. Why are we just having him gather dust, and let's see what they could do? That, you know, they could DFA him and try to get a trade and pick up a 17th-tier prospect or whatever to shed the salary. I mean, that's something they could do. But, yeah, there's not much else, because if he's not going to start, then it's kind of a waste. I mean, you'd like to have benches getting smaller and smaller. We've got 95-man bullpens. You'd like to have a decent pinch hitter. You'd like to have Adam Lynn types on the bench. You don't want to have a guy who's just going to three swings and you're out. So, I'm with you. I think that makes sense.
But they probably got to give him Jonah, you know, realistically. Again, he's been a streaky guy. And, again, there are holes in Randall Grichuk, you know. But, again, if I'm going to assume Randall Grichuk is what he's been in, again, a relatively small sample size with St. Louis, he's been super streaky. Now, it's hard to get a guy on a hot streak if he's not playing. But in any case, what are we talking, another month, you know, before you start thinking about along those lines? It's not giving up assets, controllable assets, even a controllable asset who's doing what he's doing at the moment, is not something you do lightly as an organization, it seems to me.
Well, that's right. And I think that it would be different if, like, Alford was healthy. Then they'd have Hernandez and Alford as options. You know, maybe if they had some AAA life who was 26 and could come up and really rake, they don't really have that. By the way, going back to your defense on I use Baseball Info Solutions. They have a stat called defensive runs saved. It's exactly what it sounds like. If you're a zero, you're average. If you're above zero, you're above average. Grichik plus two last year, plus two this year. So he's a little bit better than average defensively overall. That's arm, that's range, that's everything.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
It's not always easy to find an above average defender. That's something. Power and defense is something. 086, not so awesome.
It is interesting, though, if you look at this Blue Jays record and the way they have played in general, Grichik, Martin, Travis, all hitting nothing. Yeah. And
they
and
scored a million runs.
They've scored all kinds of runs. It is intriguing.
And I don't have it in front of me, and I might write about it this week, but I'm pretty sure they're hitting really well runners in scoring position.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Part of it. They're doing what do you call it? Actually, I can probably look this up while we're talking. It's called cluster luck, which is one of my favorite stats. Cluster luck just means how do your hits come when you're pitching or hitting? Are they all happening in one inning? Well, if you're hitting, that's good luck, and if you're pitching, that's bad luck. And that's kind of how it goes. And I'm going to try. You guys could ask me the next question, but I'll probably have the cluster luck. Guess who's number one in Major League Baseball in cluster luck this season by a country mile? The Toronto Blue Jays.
Well, we watch the games. We can see that, you know. And I mean, this is exactly what they didn't do last year. Last year, they couldn't score runs because they couldn't get anybody home that was on base. We got runners in scoring position. They couldn't buy a hit. If they didn't hit it out of the park, they probably weren't going to score any runs. And this year, it's been this, like you said, a cluster of hits, most of them late. Look, at about 2 minutes. Yeah. Should fans be worried about Stroman? Is this residue from the spring training situation, or is it possible something's going on?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking for stuff like, well, it's both, right? You want to see velocity and command. Stroman, last I checked, has not, like, his velocity's not in the tank or anything like that, but he's not putting his pitches where he wants to by any means. The 14 walks in 20 innings is quite uncharacteristic. I mean, he's typically about a 3-1 strikeout to walk guy right around there. It's nothing like that right now. And I still, like, inducing a lot of ground balls. There are Stroman things that are happening, but he just can't get as deep into games because it's just the command is not there. The last four starts, well, it was only four starts. 3 walks, 5 walks, 2 walks, 4 walks. I mean, you just can't. And 2 wild pitches, that's not Stroman at all. You know, he's never been a monster strikeout guy. He excels by inducing ground balls and by, you know, putting the ball where he wants to.
That's right.
You know, it's entirely possible that that's injury related, but it's hard to know. And frankly, Stroman himself might not know the answer to that question because it's such a weird thing. If you're slightly off mechanically because of an injury, it can affect the whole kinetic chain and can cause pitchers to not pitch like themselves.
Kerry, always our pleasure. Thanks, pal. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, all.